when the scandal of Harold Smith and the Wells Fargo Bank story broke, and the scandal of the Nugent Hand, the Australian CIA bank story broke with its interconnecting links to various countries and agencies, I said at the time that I believe that if these two were put together and the money traced, it would tie into the funding of the Manson family in California, the forming of the SLA that was put together by the CIA and the Special Forces, Colson Westbrook of the Special Forces, who was in Southeast Asia and experimenting in mind control and coming down as part of the COINTEL program, and even into the Jonestown operation. But specifically, I was thinking of the Manson family and the SLA. Now, those two major stories are totally not solved, and they're not unrelated to Mr. Licio Gelli and the Italian scandal with its links to the United States into Argentina and South America. So it was very interesting this last week, June the 6th, to see that Sheriff Peter Pitches is retiring from Los Angeles. He was the man in Los Angeles County, the sheriff, who was behind these various operations along with Ed Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. These were the United States so-called leftist terrorists, similar to Carlos the Jackal floating around Europe and the Middle East, acting as if he was a Russian terrorist or leftist terrorist. Peter Pitches did have a heart surgery, a bypass surgery. I hope he didn't retire to get an appointment such as on the Supreme Court by Ronald Reagan. That the one appointment I want to watch is Evel Younger. If he tries to pull an Evel Younger appointment, because Evel Younger helped him make decisions to get his cabinet together, and he's sitting out in the wings. He's a retired general. He was in the CIA, the FBI, the district attorney in Los Angeles when Sirhan was charged with killing Robert Kennedy, and Thane Caesar was allowed to be free to work with his Nazi organizations, and then he was the attorney general in California. What I'm really afraid about the retirement on the Supreme Court now is Evel Younger being plucked in by Ronald Reagan. That is one that you'll have to go to your library and get all your information or your past tapes that you have for me and begin to write letters, because if Reagan tries to pull that, you are in trouble nationally, just as we were in California with various counterintelligence violences that were taking place in California. There's arrest of some policemen, long police force establishment people in the Los Angeles area just this week, who were going to the Vegas area to do weekend robberies to get $10,000 a week for the pocket money because they said they were tired of being nobody. But the criminal conspiracy section of the Los Angeles Police Department, which really got it down pat of the San Francisco Police Department with the Zebra killings and the Zodiac and so forth, they have a counterintelligence operation going which keeps people in disarray and random murders and what they call those senseless murders, the L.A. Stranglers and the different kinds of operations that I've run down many times. And it's worked in California beautifully to make these prosecuting attorneys and the defense attorneys and the district attorneys all superstars, writing books, getting in the news media, and making a lot of hay and money out of it while giving the illusion that crime is rampant everywhere. There is a lot of crime, but a lot of it is manipulated. And Peter Pitches is resigning. I'd like to think he's resigning because of Michael Hand talking or interconnecting links, just as at the time of Watergate, people had to resign. They had to become former people so they wouldn't be linked to the scandal. When Frank Sinatra wanted to be in charge of Caesar's Palace, it was the Sheriff Peter Pitches who testified on his behalf that Sinatra isn't part of the mob. He said, if Sinatra's a member of the mafia, then I'm the godfather. And I mentioned once before that's the truth, and that's part of the game in California. But these people work very closely together, and I just hope they don't move on to national level. I hope the scandals that are not surfacing beyond just a certain point at this time will force them to retrench and pull back and become a little more modest and quiet, where they were aggressive the first couple of months of Reagan's administration. In a few weeks, I want to continue with all these little mini revolutionary people that are being picked up in Houston, Texas, and at the airports, and do an in-depth story of the Dominica, the hauling of the invasion of the island of Dominica. I mentioned it just briefly on a couple of programs, but I haven't gone in-depth to it. The interesting thing is that the men who were arrested have the name John Connolly in their pocket, and there were tape recordings referring to John Connally, and the first story said, oh, it's not the John Connally, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of the Navy, the John Connally from the cabinets, the Texas governor. But yes, it was that John Connally, and there were tape recordings of John Connally's name, and some of the men arrested in New Orleans that worked with this Dominica invasion that had the Nazi flags, that said they worked for the CIA, that used retired policemen from Kansas and Oklahoma, the heads of the Klan in various states, Canadian people, lots of money. They had on tape recordings names of Texas Governor John Connally, U.S. Representative Ron Paul, Republican from Texas, and a U.S. district judge was subpoenaed to go to New Orleans to testify about this case because his name was also there. But he had an excuse. It would take too much time from work, and it would cost federal tax dollars. It'd waste on his travel to go to New Orleans. Well, the subpoena was quashed, so the three men don't have to go there. But the fact remains, according to the Houston Post, that Connally's name was used in undercover tapes that the federal government has. And if Connally is linked to that Dominica invasion, it wouldn't surprise me, because I only had one source that, or heard it on the radio or TV, that it was for Robert Vesco, and that would synchronize with Vesco's being kicked out of the Bahamas. So Vesco and Connally have worked close enough. I mentioned before Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for Vesco, and John Connally is the attorney for John Hinckley Jr., and John Hinckley Jr.'s little Nazi buddies, and Connally is deeply involved with Nazi and Klan and the very far right in this country, the farthest right. So it doesn't surprise me that this goon squad from Canada, the United States, with lots of money, was going down that island. They said they were supposed to invade Grenada also and overthrow that government, and they were going to get a fee to overthrow that government. But it's interesting that the judge doesn't have the courage to force Governor Connally, John Connally, the former Texas governor, or a member of the Congress, Ron Paul from Texas, to go down to that trial. The defendant claims, one of the defendants insists, that these people that I named were friends of his, that they knew of the coup attempt. The defense lawyers say that Mr. Perdue, their client, worked with these people, that they didn't plan an illegal bloodbath, that they were going to act as military advisors to the government with the approval of the United States government, that landing was approved by the government. It was a CIA operation. It had the highest level of approval of the United States government, and yet our government was using the Klan, the Nazi Party, Nazi flags. And you're going to hear more about the word Nazi for a long, long time. I remember several years ago on KLRB, I was using it so much, and a lot of people just shook their head. They couldn't understand the relationship between the word Nazi and a lot of the news that was coming out, and it was everywhere in the research that I was doing. But when you get an assassination attempt on the president and the young American is linked to Nazis in four or five different states in the United States, and an assassination attempt on the Pope with a man who's linked to Nazi organizations in eight or nine different countries, and you get Mr. Gelli with links to Franco, Hitler, Mussolini, Perón, and the Nazi Party ever since World War II, since Franco's days, you get three major stories that all have interconnected links to not neo-Nazis, but Nazis, and then the young ones growing up tutored by the others. But it is something that you're not going to be able to avoid, and the sooner you face the reality of the strength with which the Nazis have taken over or entrenched this country, then you're going to come to the solutions. There's a new book out on that subject, and I'll be doing quite a few broadcasts on it. It's called The Secrets of the SS by Glenn Infield. Now, if you want some samples of the book, if it hasn't come out yet, I imagine it'll be out pretty soon by Stein and Day. The Gallery magazine this month has a story, America's Secret Alliance with the Nazi SS. And he goes into quite a few points. Some of them I disagree with, and I'll illustrate the differences, but quite a few of them I agree with Mr. Infield. And I think that these books are long overdue, the connecting links of the Nazis to not only Americans putting Hitler into power, but to the continuation of them and how they're affecting our lives today. That is the important thing, and that's why I kept talking about them. not because I'm whipping a dead horse that was long ago buried and doesn't affect us. This Mr. Enfield, who has written this book on the SS, also wrote that book, Hitler's Secret Life, which is one of my favorite books on Hitler and the Hitler era, and many episodes that are interesting. And in this new book on the SS, he talks about the brotherhood, the SS brotherhood of Hitler and the Third Reich around the world. And he said more than three decades after the end of the Third Reich, three decades after, the SS, that's the Secret Service Brotherhood of Hitler, around the world are using Hitler's principles that they learned from Hitler. They are bombing. They are kidnapping. They use poison gas, physical torture. All are standard operating procedures for today's terrorists. And they were taught to them in many cases by the former Third Reich SS members. A special commission has now been assigned and established to identify them in the United States. Now, I have said on these broadcasts for a long time that we hear about bombings, we hear about kidnappings, poison gas, physical torture, and we try to say, or Gene Kirkpatrick tries to say for Ronald Reagan, or Reagan says, or Haig says, the Russians are terrorists, the Russians are spreading terror around the world. There's books out on the terrorism of Russia. And Mr. Enfield, who's an expert on Adolf Hitler, who has studied him extensively, written 10 books, is saying that the bombings today, the kidnappings, the poison gas, the physical torture are procedures done specifically by men who were part of Hitler's Secret Service, the SS. And he says, we are now looking into this material, and we have ignored, the United States has ignored, the background of these secret men, the SS organizations, and they've used cover names, and they're involved in political and military affairs, and they are the cause of the upsurge of neo-Nazism around the globe. Now, many people think that neo-Nazism or Nazism, because it was continuous, it isn't neo-pneumonia if you get something in your lungs, or it isn't neo-polio, it's polio like it was polio before. It's the same Nazis, and I hate to use the word neo because it looks like the others died and these are the offshoots, and it isn't that way at all. The problem with Nazism around the world in Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, Middle East, various countries, and is wherever you see Nazism, or in the United States with the Nazi organizations, doesn't come from inflation. It doesn't come because the blacks did something wrong. It doesn't come because of social situations of unemployment or poor housing. It comes because those people in Germany that caused the social situations that allowed people to get more crazy and more cruel were invited to this country and given high jobs and positions, and brought with them not only the racism and the prejudices we had before World War II began, but they brought the methods of killing, the methods of torture, the methods of mind control, the methods of medical experiments. And we brought them to UCLA, we brought them to Stanford Research and into the space programs and to Vacaville and to the prisons and to the universities and into the engineering fields and the scientists, you name it, the psychiatrists. We brought them over in a boatload. Now, Mr. Enfield's book talks about after World War II was over, the Brown Building is where the SS had their headquarters and their list of Nazi members in the elite guard of the SS. And the Americans went into these offices and procured them, so it should have been an easy matter to pinpoint who they were and to prosecute them. But would you believe that when they got into the offices, there were over 4 million members of the secret SS, or many, many people, more than a million of the hardcore. There weren't prisons enough for them. There were 4 million people in the American zone. They cut Germany into four sections, and like a piece of pie to reconstruct after the Nazi era. And they had the list of people and questionnaires to each survivor. There were 13 million Germans that survived. And they were going to denazify the country of one particular group of the most hated organization called the SS. It was so horrendous that that was the one group that they were going to denazify, and sent brochures and had the names of the members. And in the American zone alone, in the fourth piece of that pie, there were 4 million people that would have required trials. 4 million people. They couldn't do that. So the American Army, 1 year later, in June of 1946, said to the German government, take them. We don't want the jails. They'll hang a few at Nuremberg. Give us a handful of them, and we'll keep Hess in prison. You take them. We can't handle it. You denazify them. And the people they put in charge of denazifying them were also members of the SS. One of the subscribers to these tapes that I've known for many, many years in New York sent me a book called The Brown Book. Maybe you can obtain it. It's hard to get, and it's a jewel of a book with where the members of the SS went and the secret team in Germany. They became the ambassadors to Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, John and Johannesburg, the African countries in Taiwan, Shanghai, Singapore, United States. They all got key positions. They were never denazified. And there's no mystery about how things are coming down today. It's been obvious to me for about 18 years, but a lot of people have to hurt more before they begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And there are a lot of people putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So if you want a preview of the book, get Gallery Magazine this month. And if you want to wait and get the book, you can get the book. I want to support the magazine because they went to the trouble of printing this section, and I really do appreciate it. One section in the book, as I said, mentions, Mr. Infeld says that in many other countries outside of the United States, outside of Germany, rather, the secret SS organizations used cover names and were involved in political and military affairs, which added to the resurgence of Nazism around the globe. And they had covers. Well, I've mentioned earlier on programs the book Wanted, Search for the Nazis, and a perfect example of a cover was Richard Nixon's office. They brought Nicolae Moloxa from the Iron Guard from Romania and his experience with the OSS and concentration camps into the office of Richard Nixon in Whittier, California, through Secretary of State John Foster Dulles and the law firm of Sullivan and Cromwell, and the Undersecretary of State Adolph Berle, who helped Richard Nixon prosecute Alger Hiss. And they brought Moloxa to Nixon's office, and Nixon introduced a private bill in 1951 to make Moloxa become a permanent member of the United States, a citizen. And the basis was that he had a company called Western Tube, and that was a very valuable company for making tubes for oil refinery that we needed in the Korean War. Now, it turned out he didn't make anything at all. It wasn't a thing at all. Western Tube was simply an address at the Bank of America building in the law offices of Richard Nixon. And Western Tube was a dummy front, one of many dummy fronts of the notorious SS. And after he opened up his office there, then he went down to Argentina, to Juan Perón, where Mr. Licio Gelli from Rome, Italy, was with down in Argentina with Perón. And Nicolae Moloxa was meeting in Buenos Aires and in Madrid with Otto Skorzeny and all the top Nazis, and having a ball and setting up a Nazi network in every country around the world that they could do it in. So the entree to Skorzeny and his old buddies from the SS was to go through Richard Nixon's office and set up a front, pretend that he was useful to the war effort, and then continue the Nazification of the world. So people like Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and the SS and Licio Gelli and Nicolae Moloxa and Otto Skorzeny, and you'll hear that name a lot because of a new book coming out about Skorzeny and the Gelli Fair in Italy, Licio Gelli and the future arrest of him or the expose that will come out. This gang had friends, and they had friends in a man who was defeating Helen Douglas, calling her a red when he ran for the Senate, kicked out Jerry Voorhees in the House of Representatives, who was a good guy, worked in Long Island bringing Nazis to the country, was vice president 8 years. Richard Nixon not only worked with organized crime and Bebe Rebozo and Albanap and all the mafia drug dealers and was thick with them, but the most important story, it was the first story I ever published when Watergate broke, on how Nixon really came to power. And I wrote that before Howard Bloom wrote Wanted, Search for the Nazis. I think I was the first published person in the United States to link Richard Nixon to the importation of Nazis in the United States. And then Howard Bloom, who writes for the New York Times, he went one step further and put them right with Bank of America and Dummy Fronts, and down there with Scorzini and Juan Perón. So when I say the Italian scandal is going to bring down and interconnect a lot of people, my research has them weaving in and out together in interesting patterns. Gallery also, in this section of the book of Enfield, has a description of the Army, the Counterintelligence Corps, the 66th CIC, that wanted Scorzini released, and they helped him get out of the prison so he could make his resurgence of the Nazi Party. And they described that it was rumored among the counterintelligence group that Scorzini had been useful in helping Hitler escape. Now, Enfield has a contradiction in his other book on Adolf Hitler and in this book on the Nazis, too. He writes in sections of the book that Hitler died in the bunker, and then he always brings up subjects that he's not sure Hitler is dead. At least he's fair that he brings it out. So in his new book on the SS, he brings out again that there was much talk that Scorzini was instrumental and useful in bringing Hitler out of Germany. And then he also said something in this book, quote in Gallery, that I don't agree with it. One of the excuses to get Scorzini out was to follow him to find Martin Bormann and other top Nazis. Now, Enfield is a good writer, but Enfield is wrong. Accept him for what he says, and I'll point out some of the differences and maybe do a one-hour evening on that, like I did with David Lifton's Best Evidence, do one book review on this subject. But I'd strongly disagree that Scorzini was let out to find other Nazis. The Vatican, Montini, Secretary of the Vatican, wrote the passport for Bormann. He knew where he was. He knew he was down with Juan Perón and Gelli and the whole gang down there from Italy. They knew where he was, and Scorzini was part of this whole operation, and they weren't looking for Bormann. William Casey of the OSS, I mentioned last week, director of our CIA, and now he knew where Gelli was and Scorzini was and Juan Perón, what he was doing, and the OSS was using these people. They're the ones that assisted Scorzini in getting out so he could rebuild the Nazis so they would give us that lovely gift of World War III. That's what they want, and that's what they're hell-bent on getting. But in the interim, between the intent of arming for World War III and having it, a lot of people are getting smarter, and a lot of stories are being leaked, and we have satellite communication and instant radio and FM radio and tape cassettes. And I really doubt that people would put their heart and guts into the kind of war that these people dreamed that they could engineer years ago. They thought about space technology, controlling the space stations, you control the world. The Russians just set up two machines that linked to begin their first space station. So when you get a system going that has so much intent to control so many people, the same technology that would make it possible to control these people has been the technology of communication, where people can talk with each other and figure out what they are doing. In other words, I don't think we'll be so easily led down the river, and I think these stories and scandals that are breaking now, that are seeping out, are ways of stopping the aggression that they intended, and I think that many of the people that I've been talking about on the air for weeks are very much nervous about their future. As I say, Mr. Walesa in Poland, as soon as Gelli was arrested and fled, I don't know if it was simultaneously or a cause and effect, he said, well, I think I'll resign and go take care of my family and stop the Polish labor problems. Was he funded by the secret fund? And if there's no money in it, he's not going to go further. Time will tell how far he goes or what he'll do or whether he'll be paid off and come to the United States and get $1 million for a book and live like Solzhenitsyn. I don't know. He may become a cold warrior over here stirring up stuff, but he might be ineffectual in Poland if his money is cut off. One more thing in the news before I finish. Omni Magazine has some good articles this month, and there's quite a few, and I want to run them down, and I think you really, if you can, get them. One is on OTRAG, O-T-R-A-G. That's the rocket system that the German government put in Zaire, and the Russians accused them and NASA of using the Punamun NASA Nazis for space stations in Africa. It was a $50 million operation that was halted because it was linked to Adolf Hitler's Puigdemont, and now it's been moved where? To Libya with Gaddafi. They have another article, Explorations, an interesting article on Disneyland and how Disneyland is a prototype for future communities. It's an important research center of applied scientists. They're studying technology for feeding, housing, and transporting large numbers of people. Be careful. Remember the tapes I did a while back on Disneyland? The perfect little happy community. It doesn't have a jail, a school, a hospital. It doesn't have anything. It doesn't even have people. It closes down at night. But they're using it as a prototype for moving people and underground, underneath where these 85,000 people tromp every day, are these mazes of tunnels and rooms where they have warehouses, refrigerating facilities, lounges, wardrobes for 12 to 15,000 people. Be careful. You may see scenes like Coma or Auschwitz or experimentation. This one little happy town is nothing but a dummy front with a railroad that goes into a super Disneyland future hotel down in Florida, that Disneyland. And they're working out how to transport large numbers of people. Very interesting article. It tells about their electronic tiki birds. I've heard them down at Disneyland in California when Mr. Watts kills all wildlife and everything decent as the head of our interior for Reagan. We can get those electronic tiki birds to sing for us. This tells about Disneyland being used by the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Energy and Transportation, and NASA and technology. They have those electronic presidents. Remember, they're all wired up and say what you want to say. They give us those old speeches out of the archives. Interesting articles. There's five articles. I don't have time to run them down for you, but they're very interesting and important in Omni this month, and I'm very interested in that Disneyland. I think we could be sucked into this little Tomorrowland, and it would be the end of the road. I think it's a dangerous operation that I've watched develop for a long time, and I don't think there's going to be that much fun in games. If that's a prototype of the future city, why don't they start applying it in Harlem or Watts or San Francisco or L.A. to some of the slum areas? Let Gerard O'Neill, who designs these beautiful space colonies, tell us why, if he's in Princeton, New Jersey, he can't go to Trenton, New Jersey and make the city look beautiful. He's going to spend billions of dollars to put you on a space colony and tell you it's heaven beyond your wildest imaginations, and he's maybe 20 miles or 30 from the worst poverty in the country and unemployment and dirty, unkempt cities, and he can't figure out what to do with those. So beware of Tomorrowland, and let's concentrate on today. Well, I thought I'd update a few of these stories with you in the news before we get some of that really heavy stuff next week and continue with the Italian scandal. There'll be a lot more, and I have a lot more to share with you. But I did want to share some of these things with you now, and they just passed by so quickly, and they're important articles and books coming out, and you can get them and start reading them and keep up on some of these matters. In the meantime, we'll take another week to study and observe and watch them slide down that ladder. I think they're going to fall. I really do. It's interesting, and just watch how it comes down. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.